This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. The Sundance Film Festival kicked off yesterday. Each year, docs, features, shorts, they all premiere and screen in a tiny Utah town with the hopes of scoring a distribution deal, which means some of these movies are the ones we'll all be talking about this time next year. Joining us now from Park City, Utah is friend of the show, Eric Cohn. Eric is the chief film critic and deputy editor for IndieWire. Eric, thanks for making the time.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
So far, what are some of the themes and patterns you see emerging from this year's festival?
Well, it's the first day, so it takes some time. But one of the things that I think is really notable is that for years, Sundance has been known as this place that breaks out big stars, big films with directors whose careers are about to skyrocket. But usually that means narrative features. And what we're seeing right now is that there's actually much more of a marketplace for documentary storytelling. And so all of these big streaming entities, from Netflix to Apple to HBO Max, which is a total newcomer, they're all looking for nonfiction content. And that's all over the place at the festival. So it's a very interesting shift in that respect.
Well, let's talk about some of the documentaries that are already causing some buzz. A new documentary from Amy Ziering and Kirby Dick is called On the Road. What's the film's premise?
Well, the film's actually called On the Record. And it's
On the Record,
that.
I'm sorry, On the Record.
Yeah, no, well, On the Road would be a very different kind of movie. On the Record, in this case, is referring to specifically the challenge of the women involved in the 2017 New York Times reporting on Russell Simmons' sexual assault charges and their decision to make that choice to speak publicly to a New York Times reporter, which eventually came to fruition. So it's a kind of a fascinating behind the scenes of a very public Me Too situation. But the film is obviously entering Sundance with a lot of heat on it, not only because of its high profile case, but because Oprah Winfrey had originally been attached as a producer on the film, and through a deal she had with Apple TV Plus, that was going to be the distributor. But Oprah has pulled out, and we don't know exactly why, but it creates a lot of controversy around whether or not her decisions here were sound, because this is a film that is obviously designed to give voice to survivors of sexual abuse. And without Oprah behind it now, it sends sort of a negative message. So I think Sundance is really going to be a moment for people to jump up and try to support this film, given the situation that it's entering the festival with.
There's a documentary called Spaceship Earth that covers a topic that's been handled in everything from parodies to art projects to other documentaries. So this one is about the biosphere. What sets it apart?
Well, first of all, the filmmakers, we don't talk about documentaries as much about, in terms of the directors, as we do the subject. But in this case, you know, the story of the biosphere, I mean, it's almost comical, the idea of people sort of living in this isolated environment. But Matt Wolf, who's made films like Wild Combination and Teenage and last year's The Marion Stokes Story, Recorder, is really good at taking footage and putting you inside this moment and giving you a new perspective on it. And I think what's notable about this story going back to the early 90s is that it's resonant now as we talk about environmental crises more than ever, because it gives us a way to sort of crystallize those concerns through the lens of history.
Ron Howard has a new documentary this year. We know from his narrative films, there's sort of a Ron Howard vibe. Does this apply to his documentaries as well?
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's a high profile production with Nat Geo, National Geographic behind it. And it has to do with something that I think is relevant to so many people, but these wildfires. And it's a very specific story, but it has much greater resonance all over the world now. I mean, you look at what's going on in Australia. So again, the environmental side of this is what really makes it stand out. And I think the thing about Ron Howard as a documentary filmmaker is that he's very, very proficient. He's made movies about the Beatles and Pavarotti. And he's very good at kind of figuring out how to flesh out all the details we need to experience this story as closely as we can. So it's not like you expect something groundbreaking, but it will probably be satisfying in terms of bringing this issue back to the conversation.
And there's a documentary called Crip Camp. I know why it's getting a lot of buzz, not necessarily what's on the screen, but who's behind it.
Yes, yeah, so this is the second film from Higher Ground Productions, which is Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's production company, and they partnered with Netflix, as they did on the Oscar nominee this year, American Factory, to put this very moving story together, which is about a camp for disabilities in the early 70s, sort of the Woodstock of disabilities camps, if you will. There was a sort of a hippie vibe to what happened at this camp, and that part of it is very entertaining, but perhaps more significant is what it did for the people who attended, which is that it stimulated their interest in activism and sort of kickstarted the disability civil rights movement in the years to follow. And so when this film comes out on Netflix, I think it's going to get a lot of attention because it really taps into an issue that's getting more and more attention in the media. And Sundance is a great place for it to kick off because the enthusiasm for what the story it's telling was just through the roof.
All right. So I'm actually on the Sundance app right now, and I'm looking at special events. And one of them is a screening of Hillary, which I guess is going to screen tomorrow. And obviously it made some news earlier in the week for some things that former Secretary of State Clinton said about Senator Sanders. So I'm curious, it says that Hillary Clinton's going to be there, as well as director Nanette Bernstein. Is there as much buzz there about this film as there has been out in the political circles here?
Well, the thing about the movie is that it's a Hulu production. It's going to be out there soon enough. So I think that it has a different sort of profile at Sundance than, say, a Total Discovery in that respect. And the real question around this movie is whether or not it's bringing us anything new that we didn't already know about the former secretary, other than, you know, the fact that she still harbors a lot of opinions about what happened in 2016. So hopefully there's enough there to sort of advance her narrative, as it were. But I think the buzz obviously is, yes, that Hillary Clinton is coming to Sundance. It's a reminder that, you know, Sundance is not just this bubble, but that when people have an agenda, if there's somehow a movie attached to it, they can come here and sort of magnify it because of the media presence and because the project itself will generate so much conversation. So I think what's going to be interesting for Hillary Clinton at Sundance is to see whether or not she can find ways to continue the dialogue she's already started surrounding this project, or whether it really is just an opportunity for her to vent more based on what she's already been through.
Well, the running time here is that it's 253 minutes.
Yes. Yes, but look, and I don't expect everyone at the festival to be able to carve out time in their schedule for that. But one thing that you have to give Sundance credit for is that it is very much responsive to the changing ways in which we watch things and programs TV content almost as much as it does film now, because you have to. That's just the nature of the industry. And this is actually the festival that premiered OJ, Made in America, which was an 8-hour ESPN documentary that went on to win the Oscar for Best Documentary. So yeah, the running times can be daunting, but sometimes they're an indication that this thing really has something to say.
My guest is Eric Cohn, chief film critic and deputy editor for IndieWire, who's calling in from Sundance to give us a preview. So you mentioned a couple of the different streaming platforms. How has streaming changed Sundance?
Well, we are firmly entrenched in the so-called streaming wars now, and I think what's so fascinating about it is that 5 years ago, we didn't have these options. It really came down to, you know, who had the deep pockets to buy a movie and get it out into theaters and sort of magnify its life in a way that would generate a lot of publicity and attention. The streaming platforms change that because the metrics for success are different if you're not reliant on box office to necessarily define what it means to be successful after your festival premiere. So now we have Netflix and we have Apple and we have Amazon. And as I said before, we have HBO Max and all these different characters are sort of running around looking for things that they might actually be able to provide a better opportunity for than a traditional distributor. Conversely, there are some movies that actually benefit from being out in theaters because it's just hard to get people to notice stuff when you're only available at home. There's just so much extra noise. So it's a very interesting disconnect going on in the industry between the people who are focused on kind of the older models and what these big wealthy streamers are looking to do.
That's so interesting. So just hypothetically, if you're a young unknown filmmaker at this point, is it better to get the attention of a streaming service or go through traditional distribution?
I think it really depends on what your priorities are. Now, if what you want to do is just get a nice paycheck and move on to the next project, then maybe that streaming deal is the best deal. Conversely, I think that some people really have to face these hard questions now about if you spent, you know, a year or more of your life creating this amazing work of art and you want to see it get out into the world, who's going to really invest all the time and effort in doing that? And as great as Netflix and its competitors may be in certain ways, they are in the volume business and they're chasing so much stuff that the idea that your project will stand out from the noise is never a surefire bet. So it really is an existential challenge for everyone.
My guest is Eric Cohen, chief film critic and deputy editor for IndieWire. We're talking about the Sundance Film Festival, where he currently is. So let's talk about some of the dramas. A film called Zola is described by Vanity Fair as maybe being the most anticipated at this year's festival. It was co-written by Jeremy O. Harris, who, of course, shook up Broadway with Slave Play. What makes Zola so interesting?
Well, it may be the first movie that was adapted from a Twitter feed, so that's I've got to be worth something. I think that this movie is going to really get people talking because, the director is this filmmaker, Janek Sabrabo, who is not a very she doesn't make things easy on the audience. She makes really wild, crowd-pleasing kinds of movies that surprise you, and this is a very surprising story about a stripper named Zola who meets another woman and decides to go on this crazy road trip to pick up a bunch of gigs to Florida and ends up getting drawn into this whole bizarre triangle with her boyfriend and her pimp, and there's some violence and all kinds of crazy stuff happens. Now, how much of this story is actually true versus what she actually, you know, what she decided to sort of embellish, it's almost irrelevant once you get into the question whether or not the movie delivers and whether or not it says something about, you know, our ability to sort of position ourselves at the center of stories of our lives to make them more interesting. And I think that Zola is the kind of movie that's being positioned to do that. And it's also, you know, it's a movie that, because it's kind of edgy, because it's very contemporary, because, as you say, it's got an up-and-coming writer attached to it, it's the kind of movie that really tends to resonate at Sundance and will almost certainly have a very loud, excited debut that will only play further into its release strategy. And this is not a movie looking for distribution. It has A24 behind it. That's a company that knows exactly how to play the hype game.
Exactly.
So expect to hear about it.
A24, most recently Uncut Gems. I mean, it's on a streak.
Exactly. I mean, and the thing is that, you know, whether or not this movie is a success theatrically, it's ready made to take advantage of the kind of noise that Sundance can create. So it's the fact that it's here, that it's showing earlier in the festival, that it has all of these interesting things connected to it, it's a very good sign for a movie like this that strategy will play out as they planned it.
I love the name of this next one we're going to talk about, Kajillionaire by Miranda
yeah,
July.
So this is, yeah, Miranda July, her career really launched at Sundance with this beautiful debut, Me and You and Everyone We Know. But people forget how few movies she's actually made because she's this incredible performance artist. She's written novels. She's done all kinds of different work. But after that, after Me and You and Everyone We Know, she made The Future, another beautiful film which premiered at Sundance almost 10 years ago. And she hasn't made anything since then. And this movie, which is in the premiere section at the festival, and we'll be looking for distribution, looks like another very sort of quirky but also soulful character study of sorts. In this case, with Evan Rachel Wood playing a woman who has been raised by these con parents of sorts and is trying to sort of figure out where her priorities lie. And we don't know exactly what that means, but the buzz is really good around this movie because Miranda July has just been so reliable. Sometimes the less prolific people are the most reliable ones in a world like this.
And this guy, I mean, the producers are heavy hitters. Dede Gardner, Jeremy Kleiner, he's got amazing taste. The executive producers are Brad Pitt, Megan Ellison. I mean, it looks like it is poised to do well.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, there's always one or two movies at Sundance that have been sort of, I wouldn't say reverse engineered, but somehow ideally situated to begin a very big life here. I mean, think about a movie like Boyhood, which they spent years and years working on. And then it came to Sundance and it was like, of course it was going to get this, you know, warm embrace and then go on to have this great life. And it feels like Miranda July is in that wheelhouse of a very respected filmmaker and a very reliable filmmaker. So fingers crossed, but this one looks like it could be a real gem.
Director Dee Reese of the excellent Mudbound, for which she was nominated for an Oscar for adapted screenplay, has a new film out that's inspired by a Joan Didion novel. What's this film?
Yeah, so the last thing he wanted is Dee Reese came here with Mudbound, and that was a big sale to Netflix, really sort of evocative period drama. And this one is taking Joan Didion's story about contractivity in Central America. And this journalist played by Anne Hathaway, who ends up dealing with this issue with her father and the kind of arms deal situation that he left behind when he became sick. And what I think is sort of interesting about this is that, you know, Dee Reese's last couple films have all dealt to some extent with race. And this seems to be her moment to kind of expand her thematic reach. And because of the attention she got from Mudbound, I think there is a real sense that this is a major filmmaker who deserves a larger canvas to explore other ideas. So very curious to see how this one came together. It's also another Netflix film, so we know that it's going to get a big marketing push off of the Sundance launch.
And there's something interesting. Statistically, 53% of the movies competing in the Dramatic Prize were directed by people of color this year. That's optimistic compared to the past, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to point out that Sundance, as you know, a major foundation for independent film in America, meaning to a large set of movies that are not telling stories that are represented by Hollywood, has often been attentive to Black talent, from early Spike Lee to Julie Dash with Daughters of the Dust. I mean, you go through the 90s, and there is a lot of Black cinema that started at this festival, but we also need to go through an evolution as an industry to get more of these stories told. And I think as the festival has been more judicious about programming films by people of color, the films are also becoming more and more widely available to them. So you look at the competition, it's not only that 53% are directed by people of color, but that almost half of those films also are centered on Black characters. And I think that's perhaps just as significant, is that, you know, this is a festival that can feel like a bit of a bubble. The industry itself can feel like a bit of a bubble, and it's very white, like a lot of industries, but the stories don't have to look that way. And I think the biggest challenge in light of all that is figuring out who's going to step up and say, not only do these movies belong at Sundance, but they deserve to be seen all over the world too.
Well, Justin Simeon's in that category. He's hilarious. He did Netflix's Dear White People. He has a film called Bad Hair. It's being billed as a horror satire. Can you explain to us in about the next 30, 40 seconds?
Yeah, I'll try. Basically, it's about a killer weave.
I mean, killer weave.
It's a psycho thriller satire of sorts, almost like an extension of the Dear White People kind of world, about a woman who gets a weave in the late 80s in order to sort of raise her profile at an MTV type of program. And it turns out the hair has a life of its own. So I think that there will be a lot to talk about this movie and what it's saying with respect to the plight of Black
extension, no pun intended. Hey, Eric Cohen, chief film critic and deputy editor for IndieWire, thank you so much for reaching out from Sundance.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. NPR's coverage of the impeachment trial of President Trump kicks off at the top of the hour, and I'll meet you back here on...